All right, let's go. All right. Tim, the Leafs, I know everybody's on the Leafs, but I think they're playing pretty good.
Yeah, but what's the problem?
Well, the problem is they run into the hot goaltenders.
Yeah, when your goalie's given up, your plane's given up less than 2 goals a game, it's tough winning.
And they're playing good. And the Bruins are playing okay, just getting enough goals to win. And
we were watching game three, so the first one back, and the Bruins were kind of doping, right? And then Reeves and those guys started running around, hitting guys, and they kind of woke them up a little bit.
Yeah, don't wake the Bruins up. And then they started scoring some goals.
Yeah. So the big thing, Dad, one of the big, hullabaloo everybody going about was Matthews, Marner, and Knight, Willie on the bench arguing back and forth.
Well, they weren't arguing. I guess they were arguing a little bit. But I don't remember the Bruins arguing on the bench. We were out in the open there pretty good.
No, they directed all their hate towards the other team. That's right. So,
hey, I remember when Terry O'Reilly wouldn't cover the points. Well, we all cover the points. Everybody covers the points, but not Terry. And he told me about 2 years later, he used to take his gloves off when he'd be on for a goal, and it come from his point. He used to take his gloves off and grab the bottom of his pants so he wouldn't come and choke me to death. But I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
Anyhow.
You know, though, Dad, talking about Terry O'Reilly, one of the thing with the Leafs is I don't think anybody sets the tone for the Leafs. Terry O'Reilly set the tone for the Bruins, right?
Yeah, and Perry and Stamkos and Tkachuk and Stone and Ben and Doughty and McDavid and O'Reilly. McKinnon, he even argues with the coach.
Right, they kind of set the tone, and I don't think, if Toronto had Corey Perry.
Yeah, I don't know why they picked him up. They could have picked him up for nothing.
You know that one of two things, if not
And he wanted to come here, too.
Yeah. You know, the first time he was standing in front of the net and somebody touched him, he would have fallen into Swayman, for sure.
He would have done something.
He would have done something. And I just don't think that...
and I think what happened with the Leafs a little bit, too, is that they started to dwell on that 70 goals.
Yeah.
And it got them, threw them off a little. Well, they're not over yet.
Bruins have been in this position last year, and they ended up losing.
Well, let's hope they win the next game.
Yeah. So, you played? Did you ever remember the guys yelling at each other on the bench? Or you used to say though that a lot of times.
One thing I remember is Joe Crozier. We were losing 4-0 or 4-1. And he just like changing lines. And I remember Jerry Eamon saying, turn to me, and we tied it up, by the way. We tied it up. As soon as we tied it up, he says, Joe's coaching again. Yeah. I never forgot that.
So you said, though, a couple of times, you used to get in arguments with him about guys playing, who's playing and stuff like that.
Well, I remember one time we were playing Portland, I think it was. You know, when you think of it, every guy that was playing pro and back in those days would have been playing in the National Hockey League. Oh, never mind. They were going, and if you went six teams, in the American League, six teams in the
Western League,
and then six teams in the Central League, that with Tulsa was in, would everybody be playing pro?
And then some.
And then. Yeah, and then we'd have some guys left over. But anyhow, I remember playing Portland, and I was out there without Rose and everybody, and I was there, and I wanted to get home so fast. And I said, bench that guy. He's yellow as a duck's foot. What did you say? I said, he said, bench him. He says, he's as yellow as a duck's foot.
And then did Crozier bench him?
He benched him.
Yeah. So there was another time you said that you got in an argument with Crozier. Yeah.
I tried not to get in arguments with him. I said, why don't you put Duffy on Nolet?
Was it Simon and Nolet?
Simon Nolet. Boy, could he skate. Boy, he could fly. And I said, put Duffy on Nolet. I says, he'll slow him down. He'll say, Duffy can't skate with Nolet. And he said that in front of the players. The worst thing he could have said. And Duffy got the winner. And the players started yelling and hollering, and usually like they usually do. Duffy can't skate with Nolet. Duffy can't skate with Nolet. That's what they were. That's what they were hollering.
So you never. So
I can't remember an argument on the bench.
Yeah, well, I can remember some guys getting into arguments in the dressing room and stuff.
Oh, they probably did in the dressing room, but they never did it on the bench.
Okay, Dad. So next game's back in Boston.
They're playing pretty good. They're out shooting them.
Yeah,
they're out shooting them, and so I say the Leafs will win the next game. And then they're on their own after that.
Like, you know, I'm not an excuse guy for the Leafs, but they do seem to run into goalies in the playoffs. Like Carey Price in Montreal.
I don't know whether it's their shooting or it's...
The one thing that you mentioned, Dad, that we were watching the game we were saying, Swayman's not being bugged. Like, he pretty much sees everything.
Yeah.
And he doesn't... There's not a lot of rebounds.
But they're still out shooting them. They get lots of chances, and this guy in Boston seems to be picking the right goalies at the right time, and that's all you need.
So the Winnipeg fans, they got to be a little bit disappointed.
Well, the Hellebuck, he's not playing like he usually does. He's average of 5, and you just can't have goaltending like that. You got to have a hot goaltender.
The first game, and it looked like Colorado was struggling a bit, and he just looked like MacKinnon just said, no, like they lost, but they lost 7-5, and you could just see him, like, just seem to ramp up his game.
Yeah, and boy, he argues with the coach.
That's right. Can you imagine if, like, Matthews turned around and started yelling at Will and Keefe, like MacKinnon yells at their coach sometimes?
Yeah, well, I don't know. And it's Hellebuck, and if he doesn't start playing.
Well, today's Sunday, so hopefully they'll get going.
Well, let's hope so, because I hear he's a pretty good guy. Well, the Canucks and the Preds, as they say, bad news for Canucks. But he puts in that Casey DeSmith, and he played like $1 million.
Yeah, he played well. And you, like, it was funny, again, because you watched the first game, and you said you didn't think that they played well. The first two games, they didn't play well, and they got a split, but they played better in Nashville. It's funny
That's a hard-hitting series, I'll tell you.
Yeah. It's funny how the teams, the home teams, always seem to play better the first game back on the road.
I loved opening on the road, because all you have to do is win one game, and the whole series over.
Yeah. It's like the Leafs look like... You know, getting back to Leafs, we talked about that. They looked a little bit nervous.
Yeah.
You know, and the fans started to boo them. And you know, boy, I'll tell you one thing. Poor Mitch Marner. Are they burying him or what?
Jeez,
Toronto Sun had the invisible man. Kelly Rudy just buried him, called him, he was 9 years old, throwing gloves. And
So he threw some gloves. So what?
Yeah. So what's the difference of him throwing gloves or a guy smashing a stick?
Well,
there's no difference.
No difference. And then the Oilers and the Kings, McDavid with 9 points, Hyman with six goals, and Draisaitl had 7 points. When you have that, you know you've got something going.
Yeah, but the Kings won in overtime. And again, all goaltending, eh? Like, yeah. You know, Skinner didn't play great that second game, and they come back, so... You remember watching Zach Hyman playing, I think he was for the Red Wings. We watched, he was a minor midget.
I remember him playing, and he was blocking shots. Remember, he was blocking shots all the time. That's all he could do.
Yeah.
And how they ever let him go is beyond me.
Yeah, they couldn't afford the $5 million for the 50. But I remember, I think we talked about it before, I remember watching him, when you and I watched him when he was 15, and he was kind of the same player. Like, he really tried hard. Like, he never took a shift off, but he wasn't a great skater. But again, he blocked shots, kind of banged in the corner. Yeah. And it was just like that now, but
Oney can score.
He got scoring touch.
I don't know where. Oh, well, I mean, when you're with McDavid, all you have to do is lay your stick on the ice and he'll find you.
Yeah, that's like, yeah, his hat trick goal. He was just standing at the side of the net and he banked it off. McDavid banked it off his skate, but you know, he got open and stuff.
Well, like that. Putting the puck in, that's the main thing.
Yeah. I really admire on that LA team, that Drew Doughty. Eh? He just hits and gets hit and takes a hit and screaming and yelling.
And you know what? I remember when he first came into the league, I said, I really like that Drew Doughty. Here he is. Well, yeah. How many years later?
Oh, I don't know. He's been in the league a long time. I remember watching him at on the Toronto Marley tournament. So he would have been 15 years old at that Etobicoke Ice Sports. And same thing. He was kind of the same kind of guy back then. Like, if you riled him up, look out. And I remember he really got corked in the corner. It was kind of a dirty hit. And the next shift, he got the puck, and he went through the whole team and just snapped the top corner. It didn't jump around, eh? Like, he was mad. And it's funny to see, like, guys like that. They were the same player at 15. You know, another guy that was like that was Wayne Simmonds. Remember him?
Yeah.
Remember we were watching him when he was 15 years old? I remember you saying, man, there's one kid I wouldn't want to go in the corner with is that Simmonds kid. Because remember, he was all elbows and knees and stuff. And then Owen Power kind of
played. Owen Power. There's a guy I never thought he'd be as good as he is.
Well, anyway, do you think the Oilers have, or the Kings have a chance against the Oilers? Or
no, I think they just keep throwing that line out there and on the power play, and I don't think they have a chance.
Dad, the playoffs are here, and there's never been a better time to bet your favorite Canadian team with our favorite Canadian sportsbook, NorthStarBets.com. They're proudly a Canadian brand and one of the best places to play in Canada. NorthStarBets.com has everything you're looking for, a sportsbook with built-in betting sites and analysis, slots, live dealer tables, exceptional customer service. Get in the playoffs action now at NorthStarBets.com, and you're picking the Leafs next game in Boston.
I'm picking the Leafs the next game in Boston.
So speaking of playoffs, Dad, Sammy Boy won from Facebook. He said, hey, Grapes, you coached the Bruins on playoff games in Pittsburgh, Philly, Chicago, LA, Montreal. Which fans gave the Bruins the hardest time?
I have to say the Pittsburgh fans were the toughest fans of all. They used to reach over the glass, and I remember I had a beautiful, lovely suit on. Gee, it was nice. And they poured beer on the suit. And
I remember you told Mike Milbury to give him your helmet.
You know, I did it as a joke. He said, what about me? He said, who cares about you? You're 5th defenseman or something like that. But he was. He was 2nd defenseman.
Yep.
But I just said he's 5th defenseman. But anyhow, I remember when I come out, they had blue.
Like a big stuffed bull terrier. Yeah, like it was huge. It was probably 3 or 4 feet tall.
It was beautiful.
It looked like a bull terrier.
Yeah, and I give him thumbs up and all that and everything. He was way up on top. And when I come out for the fourth, we were beating up 3-0. And I come out for the fourth, and he was hanging blue by the neck.
Said, die, blue, die. But yeah. I remember you saying one time in Montreal, somebody threw a Zippo lighter at you.
Oh, yeah, if that Zippo lighter had hit me on the head, it hit me on the shoulder. And if it had hit me on the head, I'm gonzo.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, they were heavy.
Those Zippo lighters were heavy.
They were really... It hit me on the shoulder, and I turned around, and I caught the guy. Tony, he was still yelling and screaming.
Yeah, there's a video of you on pointing up into the crowd. Because back then, both in Toronto and Montreal, there was no, there was nothing between you and the fans.
No, it should have been.
Well, but Detroit, too, they threw something at
you. Oh, well, I was a big, brave guy up there yelling and hollering and everything. And all of a sudden, I looked down, and I saw a bullet. And a guy had been murdered the game before at a tennis match.
Calm down.
And they pick up asphalt and fired at you too. Boy, when I saw that bullet, I pulled my horns in pretty fast.
So, Dad, some sad news. Bob Cole, buddy, passed away this week.
Yeah, you know, it was a funny thing. It was Ralph Bellamy seemed to favor both of us. We couldn't do anything wrong. And I remember... Well, I've been talking about Bob, but anyway, I remember telling him, I can't, the guy keeps pointing at the cameras all the time.
Yeah, he had two cameras, right?
Yeah. I said, one camera. He says, you can't do that. The guy, I said, well, I'm doing it. And so I asked Ralph, and Ralph said, well, give him one camera.
Yeah.
And so that's all I had was the one camera. But anyhow, Bob Cole, when you heard the voice, Bob Cole, like when you heard the voice and you knew he was doing a game, you knew it was hockey.
Yeah. You know, like, the funny thing is, like, I think today, if Bob Cole tried to get into broadcasting, I don't think he'd have a chance. Because I think all the broadcasters, you know, pretty much sound the same. Yeah, Chris Cuthbert's the best, I think, right now. But when Bob Cole called a game, I mean, he sounded generally excited when something happened.
Yeah, and he used to get hockey sticks from Gretzky and get all that stuff and everything. Ron and I used to sit up way up high. You know, a good friend of his was Ron McLean.
Yeah.
Yeah, they get drinking afterwards.
What did Bob drink?
He drank dark rum.
Yeah, Captain Morgan.
If it didn't have Captain Morgan, we had to go to another spot. we used to go to about three spots till we have Captain Morgan. Anyhow, and of all places, one time we went when we were in Newfoundland, and we couldn't find
Captain Morgan.
We couldn't find Captain Morgan. We finally found it, but he would not drink anything else but Captain Morgan. I remember a time I was coming down from Canada. And we were in New York, and I got a big bottle of Captain Morgan. And he came to the, knocked on the door, and I knew it was him. And I said, Bob, I couldn't get it. And I had to tell him fast that Captain Morgan was behind the television, cradled it like a baby. No announcer, and it never will be a never announcer as good as him. Yep. I remember the Hamel got hit in the eye.
That was a big Montreal Quebec.
That
fight.
Was a big. They're going to let some other team in besides Quebec. Bruins and Canadians were a big rivalry, but nothing like Quebec and Montreal. Boy, they hated one. They really definitely hated one another.
Yeah.
Anyhow,
so there was that big brawl. I think it was in the playoffs, right?
Yeah, it was in the play. Well, Dick Urban, when the brawl started and there was blood and everything like that, Dick Urban had to leave because Wilma, his wife, didn't like blood. She hated blood, and there was a lot of blood in that game. So anyhow, I got sent up to do the thing, and I had the whole story. I had the whole story.
Right. So you were sent up on the booth to do color with Bob,
and I remember Bob was about 10 feet away, and he says, and I said I got the story here, and I pointed down and I got the story. And Bob went on to yes and everything. And when he comes to me, he says, now we have a guy that has the full story, and I wouldn't answer him.
Because you were trying to say, and he kept hushing you.
He kept putting his hand up. Stop. So finally I did it, and boy, when he was through, he used to loosen his belt and everything like that in his pants. And when he stood up, his pants fell straight down, and there's a little guy standing there with his shorts. we shouldn't be telling stories like this, I guess. But anyhow, it was pretty funny.
Yeah, I remember one of my good friends was a floor manager with Bob. Really liked Bob Cole, Kevin Hunt. He used to work with him.
Oh yeah, Kevin Hunt.
He was at Maple Leaf Gardens, so they were up at the gondola, and that was really high up.
Oh, it was on the top.
It was on the top. Like, you, if you were afraid of heights, it was not a good place to go.
Yeah.
So I remember Bob Cole said to Kevin, he goes, Kevin, your number one job as at the end of the period is run down and get me a Haagen-Dazs, because they used to give those Haagen-Dazs.
Oh, they were good.
And they used to, like, everybody used to snap them up, all the media people. So Kevin ran down before the end of the period and got him a Haagen-Dazs. So period's over, and Bob's kind of relaxed, and I think he's having a smoke, and he says, Kevin, did you get me the Haagen-Dazs? So Kevin goes, yeah, and he threw it to him. Bob wasn't expecting it, and he grabbed it, and he kind of fumbled it, and he dropped it out of the Foster Hewitt. gondola.
Yeah.
And boy, did he get mad at Kevin. See, that hit somebody, he's going to be concussed. And Kevin said, he says, I was getting cussed out by Bob Cole. Sounded like a play-by-play. So he was, but the funny thing with Bob was when you talk to him, he kind of almost sounded like he was doing a game.
And like you, when he did it, when he was mad, or I shouldn't say mad, when he was upset, he sounded like he was doing a hockey game. And his voice, he had that voice. There's something about that voice.
Yeah.
That was hockey.
So we'll end that. There's so many great calls that Bob had, but I think we'll end it on one of the ones I think was the best was, I think it was 1977, and it was Game 7 between Dallas and Edmonton, and Curtis Joseph was standing on his head, it went into overtime. So this is, I think, one of our favorite Bob Cole calls.
My favorite.
Jumping it in, Bastion chasing. Bastion in there first. Bumped goal, but he got the puck. And he was turned around. Here's Tudor racing in. He's around the net trying to come out and put it in. Two points. Oh, my goodness. Curtis Joseph has made the play of the series. You cannot believe that save by Curtis Joseph.
People have been shaking their heads and rolling their eyes throughout this series. Curtis Joseph, coming into this game, went over two games without giving up a goal to these Stars here.
Shot to the line, another big save by Joseph. He's in that zone again, by the looks of it. Ledger from center, flipped it in for Logano. Who's going to beat Joseph? Or who will get one for Edmonton? They're going to try here, rushing to center and down the wing. It is fouled.